This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Getting some good stuff coming in on who from the world of sports would you like to be the next president or the next prime minister. Cousin Eddie writes in, President of the United States, Peyton Manning. I'd be good with that. Prime Minister of Canada, Brent Burns. I mean, just because he's a great player, I don't know about that. I don't know about Brent Burns. SF writes in, Greg Popovich or Steve Kerr for U.S. President in 2020. Maybe Popovich. I don't know about Steve Kerr. I mean, what's Steve Kerr really done? He's been a good coach, but I don't know if he's done enough for me to have him as the next president.
Five NBA titles, not enough for Matt Cause. Okay, just writing it down.
Well, Phil Jackson has more than five titles, and look how we view him now. And then Buffalo Phil writes in, and I'm not reading this for self-promotion, only for the hashtag. He wants me for prime minister, hashtag make Canada okay again.
Canada's already okay, Phil.
Here is, by the way, the poll question. Poll question that we are throwing out today. You can go to MCause56 to vote for this. And it involves the Toronto Blue Jays. Here's my ridiculous question that may or may not gain traction. What would excite you more as a Jays fan? If the Jays were buyers, if the Jays were sellers, or if they reduced concession prices? Those are the three choices. Right now, reduced concession prices is leading at 42%. With Jays as sellers at 41%.
I'm sorry? 42?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was 100-0-0.
No, it's 42%. 41% Jays as sellers. 17% would be most excited with Jays as buyers. Join us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It is Dirk Hayhurst. Dirk, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. And Maple Toyota, is that like maple-flavored Toyotas?
That's right.
Sound delicious.
It does sound delicious.
That's delicious.
Not only is it excellent handling and great on gas, but it is delicious.
That sounds delicious. Yeah. I've always wanted to try a Tacoma in maple. Yeah. So what's up, guys? How are you?
I enjoy a Yukon. Dirk, I'm going to start with my really serious question that it took me a while to write, and then I patted myself on the back after coming up with it. Are you ready?
Oh, yes, I am so ready.
Get George Clooney on the line because this question's got gravity. All right, Dirk. The right question is not will the Blue Jays bring back Josh Donaldson, but whether or not Josh would want to come back. True or false?
True.
Yeah.
True. True.
And by
true.
The way, my one addition to that is, you know, because to me, and you sort of touched on this, it's not about, will the Jays bring him back? Well, the Jays have been outbid on players in the past. We saw that with David Price. And Josh Donaldson, you know, if he's going to want to win a World Series, unless, you know, Sanchez and Stroman both are, you know, are pitching like Randy Johnson a year or two from now, I don't know if the building blocks are there for him to stay.
Yeah, no, unless they're going to be Johnson and Schilling, you know. And even then, that you still need to figure out the second base solution. You know, Jose Bautista is a shadow of his former self. You need right and left field options. You need a second base option. You need a backup catching option. I think that where one of them needs to be a consistent, productive solution at the top level. You need some depth from your minor league system, talking about impact player who can come up and kind of pick up for the inevitable injury that you're going to see. You need all of these things, and the Blue Jays don't have them. And we've been talking about this for a while now. So, look, if you're Josh Donaldson, you need to be traded, period. This is really one of the best opportunities the Blue Jays are going to have to make a return on Josh Donaldson. Well, he's a great third baseman. That is not in question. I think everyone knows that. But the problem is that this is the oldest roster in baseball, and it doesn't have a lot of top-end impact prospects that are suddenly going to catapult it into contention next season. So you have to be very judicious about your trades and their timing. And considering that the Cubs just went out and got Jose Quintana into their starting rotation, that makes that division now tighter, which means St. Louis is going to want to do something to augment its offensive or defensive potential. And St. Louis is already a prime target for Josh Donaldson's trade, and there could be a 3-4-person deal coming back on that for the Blue Jays, which would be very helpful for next season. And if you are listening to this broadcast out there in Blue Jay land, and you were saying to yourself, why am I worried about next season when I still have this season? Because this season's over for the Jays. I hate to say that. I mean, unless all the other teams in front of them, which is all of the other teams, start to implode and somehow let them propel themselves into contention, that's the only way they're going to get back into it. Because they're not playing up to their ability right now. But so many other teams are in a bloodbath race with each other that it makes a prime market for a name like Josh Donaldson. I mean, look at the kind of return that Jose Quintana got, okay? I mean, we're talking about trading Marcus Stroman. We've heard that one thrown around. If Stroman went into the market, if the Blue Jays were actually serious about trading him, he would be getting offers in return like you would see for Randy Johnson or Curt Schilling. That's how desirable young, high-impact, controllable, cheap starting rotation arms are right now. I mean, Stroman is not a superstar. He's a great pitcher, but he's not yet a superstar caliber. Run the table, Cy Young contender, okay? But he would get treated like one in the trade market because of his value. So if the Blue Jays are seeing that happen, mostly because the races are so tight, they'd be silly not to at least entertain every offer that came their way.
Dirk, looking around the majors, where would you put Donaldson? Where would you like to see him go? If you were disinterested from the Jays, where would you like to see him go? Where does he fit for you?
Well, if I'm the Jays, I'm thinking he goes anywhere where I don't have to face him in the coming seasons. So that would mean in the National League. And as I said earlier, I think that St. Louis is a prime fit there. You know, St. Louis is one of those organizations that they could call up like an old Hoover vacuum cleaner from AAA and it'll hit 20 home runs for them. And they have prospects, they have quality talent, they have a very good system of drafting and developing talent, and they're able to push it up to the top. So I think Donaldson fits well in St. Louis. There's two relievers off the top of my head. I cannot name all of the prospects that have been thrown around in his, you know, for him. But you have one potential starting pitcher, one power back end reliever, and then there's one position player, which I think is the real get, that I've heard talked about with bigger names like John Paul Morosi and other individuals have thrown around. I think he fits well there. I think that, you know, there's other teams like Milwaukee, the Washington Nationals. I mean, there's other places he could go. It's Josh Donaldson, you make room for the guy. I think everybody gets that. So what you're going to get in return is the bigger question, and I'm not the best on prospect knowledge, but I still think that you land a pretty darn good windfall for this guy, no matter where you send him. I mean, there's even arguments to be made, if you this is going to light the internet on fire, that you could put him and Stroman together in a package deal with the Yankees and bring back just about every one of their top-tier-level prospects right now, plus Chase Headley. So, I mean, that's the kind of top end hot take speculation you pay me for. But if you just think about it, right? You just think about that kind of, that's the kind of thing that you can pull down with those two guys.
When you think of the breadth and depth of the rebuild that you believe the Jays need to do, what kind of time frame are we talking about? It's not July 31st, obviously. Like, is this 1 year? Is this 2 years? Is this how long do you think it would take to do what you think they need to do?
Okay, so, you know, right now I think the starting rotation is pretty solid. You know, that's why the Stroman to the Yankees or Stroman trade to anybody. That's why this is almost 100% speculation. It's just because it's such a big name to talk about getting traded. It makes so many people perk up and listen. But the truth is that, you know, the Jays are in a situation where, let's say you move someone like Donaldson or you move Smoke right now, who may be at the absolute top of his value. You know, he could pull a Michael Saunders in the second half. He could pull Michael Saunders next season. You know, you never know when this guy's going to regress because the body of work behind this season just doesn't match up. So do you sell him now? Could you get top-end value for him now? Are you looking at a situation where if you move Donaldson because you know you're not going to get him re-signed unless you can show him a surefire plan of bringing in talent that's going to help you compete for a World Series, which I don't think the Jays can do right now. You're going to lose him, so you might as well get some value back. You trade Smoke out. You take any replacement piece that you can get for Jose Bautista right now as a pure rental move. You know, you entertain maybe Marco Estrada to the Astros or maybe the Twins. And then you think like, okay, I kept Stroman. I moved these other guys out. I'm going to get some reinforcements to the top right now. Some of these guys are prospects. I'm going to try and rely on them, but it buys me time. So 2018 is going to be a tough go. Maybe you're more competitive than you thought you would be. But by 2019, you're right there again. You're back in contention. And now you've got a bunch of guys, all these high-end signs that, you know, we were talking about Vladimir Guerrero's son. Some of the guys from the international draft have been brought into the lower levels. They're suddenly knocking on the door of the big leagues. So you've got options behind the frontline guys in the next 2 years. And if you keep Stroman, and this is what makes him such a great value, if you keep Stroman, by the time he's on the precipice of his big contract years, he's there pitching for you. You're getting the value out of this young man, and the team's competitive. So now it's like, you know, instead of wondering if you could replace this guy, you kept him for a fair price, and now all of a sudden you're competitive again. So long answer to a short question is, I think by the end of 2018 and 2019, you see this team back in contention if they move now.
Dirk, I got a serious question and then a hot take. We'll do the serious question first. We're joined by our TSN 1050 Blue Jays analyst, Dirk Hayhurst, right here on TSN 1050. Would you think, and again, it's a hard question to answer, so this is speculation, but just you've been around the team, you've been around management. Do you think upper management will be able to stomach this? Because the Jays, you know, since they got Tulowitzki and David Price, they've had the best attendance in the American League, and ratings are up. But if they do this, you're going to see, you know, a level of apathy hit among the, not among the hardcore Jays fans, but certainly on the sides, certainly among the casual fan. Do you think Rodgers would be okay with this?
Why would that? This is TSN. Mm-hmm. Why do we care what Rodgers is okay with? What the hell?
Well, listen.
Sing it, brother. Sing it.
Listen, Rodgers is concerned with two things: punching puppies and dealing with the attendance at Sky Dome. We all know that.
All right, I'll play along. Well, look, here's the thing. Like, if the Blue Jays, you know, we heard this about Jose Bautista. The Blue Jays would have traded Jose Bautista at his optimal value. I heard people say, I'm never going to go watch another Blue Jays game again. I'll feel so betrayed and so hurt. And my response to that is, get over yourself. You know, it's like such a psychological extreme on this. It's like, if you guys dismantle the team or tear it down right now, let me ask you something. This team is the worst in its division and attendance is up. So why are we talking about correlations
between
ability to succeed and attendance? They're not, I mean, look, the team starts winning, and if the team is losing and attendance is up, what will happen when the team wins again? Right?
They'll break fire codes.
Right. You might as well take the steps necessary to build the better club when the opportunity presents itself. I mean, if you have to explain to the fan base, look, we were losing. Yeah, it was tight, but we just didn't have enough money or trade value to get it done this year, so we're focusing on next year because we want to kick ass then. Okay, all right, I get it. You know, next year I will wait in anticipation. And if you are competitive, you will have all these people back again, and the system will keep going. You know, there's two ways to guarantee that you get butts in seats, and they are as follows. You build a new stadium, and you have a winning franchise. You're closer to having a winning franchise than building a new stadium. So let's go with that.
All right, time for my hot take. The Washington Nationals, Roberto Osuna, perfect fit. Go.
Oh, my gosh. You're not going to get rid of Roberto Osuna.
That's why it's a hot take. It's not a medium take. What is Washington's trouble in the playoffs every year? They always get doomed by their bullpen. Osuna, you could get they're going to be desperate. They're in first again, but they've never even gone to the World Series. Maybe you can fleece them extra good. Yes, I use the term extra good.
I'm sure Casey Jansen effect's not going to be like, you know, last guy we got from there just going to hack it here, you know, whatever. Like, I don't see this one happening. I think this is an ultra hot. It's so hot I can't touch it.
All right.
I just don't think that was going to happen. I think there's three guys that are really, for me, untouchable. Talked about Stroman being a tradable guy, but really he's untouchable. I'm not going to move that guy. He's too valuable to me right now and in the future. The other guy is Aaron Sanchez. As soon as we figure out how to make the boo-boo on his finger stop bleeding, then he's going to be good to go. And then the last guy is Osuna, man. I mean, you got three. You've got one workhorse, one potential Cy Young, and another potential, you know, like Rolaids relief man of the century out there in the bullpen. And they're all young and all controllable. I want to keep them all.
Dirk, a pleasure as always. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Thank you. Take care.
Take care. Have a great weekend. And Dirk Hayhurst joined us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days are now on with 0% financing and lease rates on the Toyota Corolla and RAV4. Visit MapleToyota.ca. I thought it was a pretty good hot take. Osuna to the Nationals. I mean, if you're going to do the irresponsible media thing of just throwing out names, you know, and saying they're going to be on the move, then Osuna to the Nationals makes sense based on absolutely nothing. And then the defense from us in the media is always, well, just connect the dots, which, you know, is means I have no information. I'm just throwing it on the wall and see if it sticks.
Well, what do the Nationals not have? Like, I listen to Tony Kornheiser's podcast.
And I do as well, every day.
Yeah, and what does he keep beefing about? They have zero relief pitching, zero closers.
Yeah.
And they're an incredible team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just perfection.
Yeah.
Like, while Dirk was saying that, I was going through their MLB.com's list of the top 100 prospects. And the Nationals have one at number five, a young man named Victor Robles.
Let's get Victor Robles.
But there's nobody else above 40. Mm-hmm. I thought, if there's two guys in the top 20, top 15, top 10, maybe I start to think about that a little bit.
My my hot take, wild random speculation based on nothing, but just trying to see what's a fit.
Hey, maybe we can put it out there. Maybe John Paul Morosi picks it up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Osuna to the Nationals.
There it is.
Mark it down.
Started right here.
For everything.
Two jackass radio gas bags starting Osuna to the Nationals.
I'm a little gassy, yeah.
Well, it's all that Diet Coke that that Milt Stegall's telling you not to have.
Uncomfortable.
Could have gone bad. Earlier in the show, we're throwing it out there. MCOS56 on my Twitter feed, at DTONSC. Who would you like to see as President of the United States or as Prime Minister of Canada? And this all in honor of some dude in West Virginia who filed the paperwork with the Federal Election Commission to get The Rock on the American ticket in 2020. The campaign is called Run The Rock 2020. And we'll take more of your suggestions, but I want to go, let's throw out some names. What do you got?
Do you want my entire list? Should I just give you
some of them.
The least likely, the most likely?
Go least likely to most likely, if you want.
They're all pretty. Let's go. I'm going to go most likely.
Okay.
Richard Sherman. Stanford educated. Connects to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Not afraid to say things that need to be said.
Uh-huh.
Richard Sherman. President Sherman.
Man, the media loves him. The
we
media
should.
Loves Richard Sherman.
Smart people who are outspoken?
Yeah, I know. I just Okay, here's the thing. Richard Sherman gets so much play, and it's always the same thing. And you did it yourself. Well, he went to Stanford. You know, there's a lot of dummies that go to Stanford as well. And by the way, it's not me saying that Richard Sherman isn't smart. He is smart. But the media has a love affair right now with Richard Sherman.
To be fair, if you go to Stanford, you graduate Stanford, and you can handle public life like mm-hmm. Richard Sherman. You're both book smart and street smart.
Yeah, because every player that went to college went to class. All right, no, listen. Richard Sherman, not a bad choice. What else you got?
Stanford doesn't let in me. Like, Stanford has real admissions standards, so you have to be at least this mm-hmm. smart to enter. You got to be 48 inches smart to ride that ride. My other one for U.S. President, mm-hmm. Chris Paul of the Houston Rockets.
Why?
President of the NBA Players Association.
Mm-hmm.
Again, smart as a whip. Again, good looking.
I'm going to fight that one. His teammates hate him. His teammates hate Chris Paul.
Do you think all the liberals love Prime Minister What's-His-Face?
Justin Trudeau?
Yeah.
Probably
not. Do you think all the GOP folks love President What's-His-Nuts?
See, if I'm going to go with someone...
Chris Paul.
I'd go with Baron Davis. Longtime Obama supporter, addressed the Congressional Black Caucus on the issue of health care for minorities, introduced Obama at a fundraiser in Silicon Valley. Baron Davis, to me, he's got a little bit more chops.
Bad knees, though. that's going to be a problem getting up those steps.
Here's another name for you.
Hit me.
George Peros. Graduated from Princeton.
Oh,
with
as if everybody who went to Princeton is smart.
Hey, listen, everyone just loves Richard Sherman. I'm tired of it.
Stanford is the Harvard of California. I mean, come on. I don't know.
Graduated from Princeton with an economics degree.
That's a good start.
Yeah, I don't think Sherman's got an economics degree. Perros said if he didn't play in the NHL, he would have worked at the Chicago Board of Trade. So this is a smart fella. And you know what? I want my president. I don't care if my president is likable. I don't need to have a beer with my president. I want a dude who is just going to sit there and try to solve problems. And also, when George Perros goes and meets other leaders from other countries, he's not going to be intimidated. He's going to do the intimidating. Like, if he was the prime minister of Canada and Donald Trump tried to do the handshake, he would pick him up and twirl him around like Captain Caveman.
See, I think you would have thought the same thing about James Comey, though, at 6'8" and 357 pounds.
Well, you know, you're not right.
But the intimidation isn't about size at that level. It's about, doesn't money hurt. and figurative weight and not, interesting.
You want to throw out one more name?
I do. Jock Climie. Lawyer.
Lawyer. Okay, good start.
Lawyer right off the bat, and the man knows how to schmooze.
Yep, really smart guy.
Eloquent speaker.
Mm-hmm.
He can win any... The biggest part is he can take any position on any topic and beat you.
Oh, so he can flip-flop.
Oh, he could flip-flop.
Perfect for a politician.
And he could explain why it's not a flip-flop, and you'd be like, yeah, you're right, it's not a flip-flop.
Yeah.
He can win any argument with anyone at any time.
Okay.
You need to be convinced that this is good for you, even though it seems bad.
Mm-hmm.
Jock Climie.
All right, that's a good one.
Prime Minister Jock Climie.
Is he your top TSN candidate for the next Prime Minister of Canada?
He's a hair above my other TSN candidate.
Okay, you can save it. Let me throw out one or two more names for you, and then we'll do more of this a little bit later in the show. By the way, I should mention, coming up, very excited, Rick Tocchet is going to be joining us at 6 o'clock, the new coach of the Arizona Coyotes.
Governor of Arizona, Rick Tocchet.
Think about Rick Tocchet. He went from, I was an assistant coach with the Penguins the last 2 years, and we won the Cup. And he's going to the Coyotes. That is the opposite of Kevin Durant. That is the exact opposite of what Kevin Durant did.
And yet you will not ask him the question I want you to ask him that shall not be named.
Another list person on my
list.
I can't
believe it.
Shaq.
Why?
I will explain. First, gregarious, fun. You want someone to connect with the people, both rich and poor? It is Shaq. Second.
President, these muffins is real good.
Yes. Okay. Also, the second thing, he is going to intimidate. And you know what? If another country... another country...
You're taking it back to size.
Let's go and bomb the United States. No, I don't want to upset Shaq. But beyond that, has been involved with public service, has became a U.S. Deputy Marshal in 2005, and quote from the Miami Beach Police Chief, Don DeLuca, telling USA Today in 2005, his interest in police work is real. So here's a guy who hobnobbed with the rich, but doesn't forget about the police. And, you know, I think it would be a unifier, very fun guy. Shaq. President O'Neill. President Shaquille O'Neill.
Okay. No. Absolutely not. Come on. Barkley makes way more sense than Shaq.
I'm getting to Barkley later on.
Okay.
Barkley's on my list.
Barkley makes an incredible amount of sense.
Yeah, one other one real quick. Jose Bautista. Because he is not going to give a damn. Jose Bautista will not allow, you know, to be seduced or swayed by one side or the other, because he just doesn't give a damn. He is not going to allow anyone in Washington to lead him down one path or another. Jose Bautista.
President Perfect Beard.
President Perfect Beard. He is going to bat flip unemployment.
Wow. You've taken these in a direction I did not expect.
Oh, you know what? That's the idea. MCOS56 at DT on SC. Who would you like to see as either President of the United States or Prime Minister of Canada? On my Twitter account also, we have our poll question, and the number is a lot higher than you expected, I believe.
Yes.
And this came out of, you know, this is a little while ago. The Atlanta Falcons changed their menu pricing, where you could get a Coke for $2, a hot dog for $2, a Bud Light for $5. You know, like a big Bud Light. So I threw it out there. My ridiculous Jay's question that I wasn't sure was going to get any sort of traction. what would excite you the most as a Jays fan? Jays as a buyer, Jays as a seller, or reduced concession prices? And you, Derek, you thought it was going to be 100%, 100% concession prices.
100%. I thought 100%. I thought it would be 100%. Because the other stuff, come on, come on. You want to instigate a multi-year rebuild, or you want $2 hot dogs, or $3 chorizos, $4 lamb kebabs? Come on.
I think what this speaks to is that more people are like Dirk Hayhurst, that they want to see the Jays starting to sell, that it's time for a rebuild. And then the debate, is it a full rebuild? Is it a retool? I mean, we'll find out in the next couple of weeks. And that's why I'm interested with Sanchez on the mound. We'll talk more Jays in a little bit. But a healthy, I always wonder, if Sanchez pitches lights out for the rest of the year, would that be enough? Would that not, I shouldn't say not be enough, but would that place, you know, a little doubt in Donaldson if Donaldson is thinking of moving? If he sees Sanchez and Stroman pitch lights out in the second half of the season, is that a bit of a sell job to keep Josh Donaldson in Toronto?
Does he still look around and see seven other old position players?
Ding, ding, ding. That's the other side. 100%. Absolutely. We'll get more into that. Plus, we get back into the biggest star in Canada.
Jock Climie.
Karen. That's all coming up right here on TSN 1050. Welcome back to TSN 1050. This is Overdrive. I'm Matt Cause, filling in for Brian Hayes. And that is the very tired and yet still awake Derek Taylor. Derek, how many hours have you been up today?
So far, 13 and a half.
13 and a half.
After about 4 hours of sleep for some reason. I don't know.
You got about 4:30. You got about 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I felt I was tired, watched the football game, tweeted the football game, was on the pregame show, la la la. Then stayed awake and watched it. Then afterward, I watched Snowflake, about drugs off whatever TV channel. Okay. And then went, you know what? Normally I'd be up till 5 a.m., but I'm going to go to bed.
Yeah.
Went to bed at 12:30. Thought, yeah, I'll wake up at 9, refreshed.
Ready to go. Ready to tackle the day.
Exactly. And I'll get to the work I thought I would do overnight. Yeah. That turns out I woke up at 4:15, and then it was just ruined after that. And there was no point in even trying to go back to sleep.
But that happens. You have that moment. If you're awake, you might as well just get up. I mean, at that point, just get up and start the day versus just trying to fight it. By the way, if you want to make Twitter angry, and there's about 4 billion ways of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
One way, if you want to make hockey Twitter angry, write a column suggesting that Phil Kessel is going to get traded. And man, do they get angry. Like Ron Cook, a columnist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, I believe, just said, hey, Rick Tocchet is done. Expect Phil Kessel to be traded soon. You know, mention his contract. Said that Tocchet and Kessel had a great relationship. Said people within management, you know, were getting unhappy with Phil. And so he writes his column. And then Twitter gets angry. If you just type in Phil Kessel, all you get is just everyone getting pissed off at this writer. And listen, the GM for the Penguins, Jim Rutherford, you know, shot it down, said Kessel is an important part of the Penguins. And I'm not going to sit here and talk about Phil, should he stay, should he go, should they trade? I don't give a bleep. Actually, I think it'd be more fascinating if he did get moved, but I don't think it's going to happen. His production was great in the playoffs. But it always amazes me. Like, there are some athletes that I think people overcompensate and want to protect so much. Because Phil took a lot of slings and arrows, some rightfully, some wrongfully, by the Toronto media, that because of that, any negativity towards Phil and Twitter just comes and just circles the wagons in defense and defends Phil.
Yeah, because, he was a very polarizing character here. Yeah. And there's always he never lived up to what he should have been. I'm not sure he's still ever lived up to what he should have been, but now he's won 2 Stanley Cups, so, and the old Patrick Waugh, my rings in my ears.
Oh, of course.
I can't hear you.
You know what's one thing I always wonder about Phil? Is part, and listen, there's 100 reasons why people, you know, maybe had an issue with him, and I think a lot of it was overblown.
What?
I don't...
I faked surprise there. Go ahead.
I think that people would... Here's my question for you. Maybe this question's insane. It's Friday. It's Mail It In Friday. It's the slowest sports week of the year.
I'm sassing people on Twitter. Yeah, just one of those days.
Yeah. Would people have liked Phil Moore if he had a chiseled face? If he had, you know, the really just thin and just pronounced, you know, just like stronger jaw, like, you know.
He's such an idiot here.
Okay, Phil, just follow me for a second. Don't interrupt because I'm trying to defend you, okay?
Oh, so my God.
Me and Dave Feschuk are coming over to your house and you're not going to like it. If he didn't have the big round face, and the problem is you see that and you think, oh, he's not in shape. Oh, he's not trying hard. He's not the sculpted, he doesn't look like the sculpted athlete. And I do wonder if that created some negativity towards him, because he just didn't fit the role. He didn't look like Gary Roberts.
He didn't look like Andrew Ladd.
Mm-hmm.
I don't...
Now, you can say it's a crazy idea, but yeah. Because sports is such a visual thing, and, you know, you see the puffy cheeks... And it's not his fault, because look how fast he is. Look how great his shot is. He is an incredible athlete. He's going to go into the Hall of Fame eventually. But I think some people...
Like he's buying a ticket and he's going to go visit it?
No. Eventually he will be inducted in there.
Wow.
But I think some people look at his face and go, I don't buy him.
I would tend to lay it more at the awkwardness of his interviewing. And his, you know, He's not the greatest talker there ever was. He could probably get away with some of that stuff. I mean, the Leafs were cursed with not great speakers, as I murder the English language right there. Dion Phaneuf was perfectly what a hockey player needs to be saying, but it wasn't great for us.
Yeah.
Because he would never blame a teammate. He would always take it on himself, and he would never really say anything. And then Phil, the how's your breath one is just kind of indicative. It was hilarious, but
that's not good, eh?
Exactly. It was just indicative of you're kind of awkward.
Rick Tocchet will join us at 6 o'clock. I've got a way of asking the question that I think should be okay. You know, because if you just ask it straight out, Tocchet's not going to give you an answer. It's going to be a non-answer. Move on. I can't wait to talk to Rick. You know, it's just a great getting an opportunity as the new head coach of the Coyotes.
You know the joke I want to make, because we talked about it before, but I feel like I can't make it because he's coming on the show today.
Here is Rod Smith before the start of the Argonauts-Winnipeg game, setting the stakes for Canada's newest sports hero, Karen.
Karen Caldas of Winnipeg. You can win a $25,000 home theater package from Visions Electronics. If a kickoff's returned for a touchdown in this game, thanks to Safeway Sobeys $1 million touchdown to win promotion. And if it should happen a second time in this game, you can also win $1 million. Good luck, Karen.
And that set the scene. The opening kickoff return touchdown. Looking not bad for Karen.
Yep.
And then later in the game... How does he pronounce it?
Martise Jackson?
Yeah, just Martise. You know what the thing is? I'm so insecure, I was going to add another syllable. Martise. I was going to just start adding more syllables because I'm a dummy. Martise Jackson, who almost broke the Argonauts record for return yardage in a single game. He does this. It is looking like Karen is $1 million richer.
Martise Jackson starts at his one. At the punt return touchdown. And away he goes again. He's loose with an open road down the sidelines, away from Medlock, and he has his second return touchdown. It's a 110-yarder, but hold on. Flag back at the 25.
They're in the run back, legal block, Toronto number 84. It's a 10-yard penalty, it's going to be first down.
That's $1 million penalty, I believe.
Think how painful that is. And I want you to listen to Karen, because she talked about, you know, what she would do the money for her daughter. And when you listen to this clip, you can't help but feel bad.
Couple of years, so she doesn't have to go to work to leave her one-year-old with, you know, like, we're all going to chip in to babysit here and there. That's the first thing I thought of. If I win that million, like, if I did, after that, I would have, like, my daughter could stay home. She wouldn't have to go to work for another couple of years.
when I heard that clip originally, just the heart sunk in your body, in my body, because, you know, I mean, you just rather have never known. Like, the best thing maybe that could have happened to Karen, and, you know, listen, good on the CFL and Safeway and Air Miles and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. We'll talk about what Karen got. But at that moment, I would rather not have known, because that emotional swing for about, you know, 7 seconds, you're thinking, my life is about to change. And then suddenly there's a flag on a ticky-tack call.
And we had the clip from her earlier on about, you know, she's like, oh, we won the stereo system and stuff. But she didn't know it was $1 million.
Yeah.
Until her husband told her.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second my husband told me, the flag comes out.
You want to hear, okay, here's Karen bringing that up.
Well, actually, at first, I thought that if I got the second touchdown, I would just qualify to win $1 million. But as Jackson was running down the field, my husband said, no, 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 if he gets this touchdown, you're going to win $1 million. And after he said those words, there was a flag, and then I didn't know what to think, because I just got the information a second before the flag flew down.
At least she didn't know.
Yeah.
She didn't live. Like, if Cuthbert had said, and this is $1 million return, flag down. Yeah. Oh, no.
Explain to the listeners, though, in the last really 12, man, really, really last like 6 hours, what has the commissioner of the CFL, what have the companies done to help out in this situation?
So there was the hashtag, pray for Karen. What about Karen?
What about Karen?
Milt tried to make it $1 million penalty, but it was pray for Karen. I'm sleepy, so forgive me for that again.
You are fading.
I absolutely am.
You are fading.
I may need a full-strength Coca-Cola coming up
pretty
soon.
You've got an hour and about 13 more minutes.
Struggling.
Exactly. So she would have won $1 million in 20 installments of $50,000. She doesn't get that. Instead, one, CFL is going to take her to the Grey Cup. Trip for two, VIP access to the Grey Cup. Two, Winnipeg Blue Bombers will give her season tickets for the rest of this season and all of next season. Three, Safeway Sobeys, free groceries for a year. Four, Air Miles.
500,000
Air Miles, which, as they point out, is the can be the cash equivalent of $50,000.
Okay, so she came out okay. Like, it's still... Well,
and Gord Miller had tweeted, great to see, and he was referencing a Safeway Sobeys, them step up, and someone sassed Gord, like, oh, that's not stepping up. Stepping up would be giving her the $1 million, and Gord rightly tweets back, they didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
They didn't cause this to happen. Mm-hmm. The contest says two kickoff returns. They don't owe anybody anything.
Yeah. Oh, so, 100%. Go to Randy Ambrosi, and just good on the commissioner of the CFL for just get on this quick. Do not let this linger.
And you can be cynical and go, oh, well, they're just buying publicity.
So
well,
what?
Everything's about buying publicity when you are an entity that appeals to people who spend, if you're a business.
Yeah.
Everything's about publicity. How do I get them to know me? If Karen made sock monkeys in Manitoba, and she had the big, she would rightly have sock monkeys in the background there. Oh, I was making a sock monkey, and I sell them online at KarenSockMonkeys.com, and I was watching the game, and I couldn't believe it. Bring it on, absolutely. And people would buy the heck out of her. We would have crashed her website today buying sock monkeys, because it's all about, that's publicity, and that's what they should do.
You went with sock monkeys.
My wife made sock monkeys. That was my fallback.
Okay.
Because, again, super sleepy, going to need some sugar.
It is great just watching. You're just starting, and you're holding on for dear life. All right, question for you.
I'm going to do some lunges while you ask me this, though.
Okay. What do you think Karen would have preferred to have?
$1 million? Oh.
The season tickets for this year and next year, or the CFL forces Bo Levi Mitchell to be traded to Winnipeg for Matt Nichols.
But Matt Nichols is the best quarterback in the league, Twitter tells me.
Get the hell out of here.
Over. We'll trade the second best quarterback for the seventh best quarterback?
Yes.
If she's a Bombers fan, and it sounds like maybe her husband's a real Bombers fan.
She was wearing a Bombers jersey during the interviews.
Yeah. BLM going to Winnipeg would be what they want. Yeah.
Gene writes into the show, back to our question, who would you like to see as the next Prime Minister of Canada? I like this one, because we're thinking of TSN people. Glenn writes in Ray Ferraro for prime minister.
Ooh.
His Twitter account is as entertaining as Trump's. Won't take any crap. Gene, that is a great choice. I would love to see Ray Ferraro as the next prime minister of Canada.
Ray's is not as entertaining as Trump because Trump, there's a complete level of blankness behind it, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just wafting this out into the air, and I don't care how it lands. Ray does not tolerate fools, for sure, but you can see there's a significant level of intelligence behind the things Ray tweets, and he thinks about stuff. He doesn't just blab out whatever comes to his mind.
MCAUS56 or at DT on SC, who would you like to be the next president of the United States or the next prime minister of Canada? And it's sports related, and this is in honor of people who have filed papers so that The Rock could run for president in 2020. Coming up next, I'm going to win you some money. And I'm not going to lie, I haven't been great so far this week. Derek Taylor said yesterday, take Mexico over Jamaica in the Gold Cup.
How did Mexico lay down for 90 minutes? I had you on El Salvador.
Lost. But I lost that one. Derek also said, Matt, take the Argonauts over Winnipeg. I lost that one as well. So here is my promise to you. I have not taken any advice, none at all, from Derek Taylor. I give you my ProLine best bets. It all involves the Toronto Blue Jays. So we'll get back to the Jays taking on the Tigers right here on TSN 1050, right here on Overdrive. Rick Tocchet, the new head coach of the Arizona Coyotes, will be joining us.
So player, a look out
at 6 o'clock. And one thing I'm curious, and I don't know if you can give this answer. How much do you know about Sidney Crosby? If someone said, describe who Sidney Crosby is, how well could you do that?
Sidney Crosby is the greatest hockey player going these days.
Right.
He's a multiple-time Stanley Cup champion.
Perfect.
And he seems like the kind of guy you would like to date your daughter.
Okay.
Or have as a son-in-law.
So basically, any facts that you can get, TSN.ca, and just sort of a general vague notion of who he is. That's basically your answer. Because it's my answer.
That's
as
kind
well.
Of what he's cultivated, yeah.
Yeah, it's my answer as well. And what I'd love to get from Rick is, Rick, former assistant coach with the Penguins, was there the last 2 years when they won the Stanley Cup. You know, I want to ask him, give us a story, humanize Sidney Crosby, which is not give us the dirt, but can you humanize Sidney Crosby even just a little bit for us?
Though, if you do know he has, you know, something awful out there online,
please feel free.
Absolutely. Please. We're not averse to that.
We're not averse to
we
that
don't,
as well.
We don't require that.
Yeah. Also, how close is the line in professional sports from back-to-back Stanley Cup champs to playoff disappointment? Because the last 2 years, the Penguins have eliminated the Washington Capitals. The Caps, the last 2 years, led the league in points both years. And they come out of that now empty-handed. Great regular season, lots of achievements, some playoff wins, but you know, you look at them and go, well, not far enough. And you know, Rick's won as a player, has won as an assistant coach, was right there staring Washington eye to eye in the last two playoff seasons. How close is that line between you're the champs, you're one of the greatest ever, and you guys are just a massive bunch of playoff disappointment?
Everybody, teams who, like the Capitals are worse than every team that didn't miss the, that didn't make the playoffs this past season. The Cap, they are embarrassing.
Chokers. And by the way, but Tony Kornheiser would call them choking dogs.
I love Tony Kornheiser so much.
Time now for my ProLine best bets, and we're going to do props. And today's prop is all about the Toronto Blue Jays taking on the Detroit Tigers. I'm going, first up, we'll start with the over-under for hits for Troy Tulowitzki. That number is 0.5. All he's going to do is get one hit. I am going to take the over. He has hit in 8 of his last 10 games. And only once in the last 10 games did Troy Tulowitzki not manage to get on base, so I will take the over. Next, Justin Verlander is on the mound tonight for the Detroit Tigers. Not having a great year. Over-under for strikeouts. That number is 5.5. I'm going to take the over. The Jays are averaging almost 8 strikeouts per game, and they're facing Verlander. So I'm going to take the over. I think they get at least six strikeouts. And we will stick with that theme. Aaron Sanchez, over-under for strikeouts. That number is just 4.5. I'm going to take the over as well. I think Sanchez is going to go on a tear. When I think of the Blue Jays and what I'm excited about for the second half of the season, there's not much. I'm hoping Donaldson is healthy and just hits the hell out of the ball. But I think Sanchez is going to be great down the stretch. 4.5 strikeouts, all in is 5. $20 pays you $75. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050, and you can get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, and matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, get way into the game. Am I winning?
Do you feel better about your picks knowing that I had two of the three different than you?
Yes.
There you go.
Yes, because you have led me down. You've led me astray.
So I thought you might like that.
I am going to, by the way, 100% guarantee I am winning this pro line or your money back. Rick Tockett joins us next right here on TSN 1050.